And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you and glorify you and thank you. We ask tonight to be taught by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the record that you have given us of really those who walked by faith, who you called, who you anointed with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for David and his life. And Lord, we ask that these scriptures would be used to teach us how to follow you, Lord Jesus. And ask your blessing upon your people to be in the Word and to hear from your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you'll find your way to 1 Samuel chapter 20 as we continue to go right through the scriptures. A Bible study entitled Instruction in Righteousness. Now, with your left finger there in 1 Samuel 20, I want you to turn all the way over in the New Testament to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 and 2 Timothy are great discipleship books because it's Paul writing to Timothy, really instructing him all the things that he learned how to follow Jesus Christ. And I offer up to us tonight that as we study through 1 Samuel 20, my title comes from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 in the context of following Jesus. Now, I realize David, and after the flesh, you know, came before Jesus. Jesus is descended from David after the flesh, or the son of David, but he's really also son of God. And as we have received him, believed upon him, born of him, his life within us, he gives us his Holy Spirit. A disciple is a pupil, a learner, a follower. Now, you cannot be a disciple without following Jesus. Does that, because those two don't go together. In order to follow Jesus is to say, I deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. That's how I learn of him and how I learn from him to walk like he walked. 2 Timothy 3:16 describes that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's where I take the title tonight, Instruction in Righteousness. And I offer this up to you. If you'll take it to heart tonight, you know, this is not a reproof tonight. There's nothing about tonight as we study through David's life and how he walked and his relationship with Jonathan, his relationship to God. There's no reproof in there. I'm not offering up reproof. I'm not offering up not even really talking the doctrine, right? As far as the doctrine of suffering or the doctrine of what to do when you're persecuted. When John brought Psalm 100 together with John 10, to know your good shepherd's voice this last Sunday, each one of you that I've been interacting with, I'm saying this is instructions. Now, I don't know how you are when you get a new device, maybe not so much with a phone anymore, but you buy an electronic piece of equipment or a machine, do you read the owner's manual or the instructions? See, this word of God is instructions, but the way Paul told Timothy, he says it's instructions in righteousness. And listen to this next phrase. This is verse 17. That the man of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, my offering up to you is the understanding that as we've received this, how it is that Samuel was sent to anoint one of Jesse's sons, David, and he poured oil upon him and anointed him as the next king of Israel. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was with David from that point forward. And in that anointing and receiving the Spirit of God, and then called to be king, and this aspect of how does a young shepherd boy who's given the Holy Spirit, how does he become equipped, or how is he thoroughly furnished unto every good work? How is it that he can, how can he be king? Now, I offer up to you, not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble after the flesh. When you receive Jesus Christ, you may not have really brought anything to your relationship with him, and yet he puts his spirit within you. And as he puts his spirit within you and you read your Bible, he begins to instruct you. Now, there's correction, there's reproof, there's doctrine, but I'm taking just one thing tonight. So if you would take tonight's study, 1 Samuel 20, and I would title it this way, Instruction in Righteousness, right? Because there's lots of instructions, but we're only going to look at one instruction tonight. Instructions in Righteousness, colon, with the topic, persecution. Persecution. Now, verse 1 says, Then David fled from Naoth of Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, What have I done? Now, when you see that phrase, David fled, this is the third time, again, as the Holy Spirit has recorded, as Saul put, it almost sounds like he put a hit out on him, but it's not a hit that he is trying to kill him. As much as he put an arrest warrant out with a wanted, he's going to be tried and he's going to be killed. And so the rule of the king that Saul would want to kill him. And as I instruct this, again, as soon as that becomes known, it's said now three times, David fled. The last one is he was with Samuel, and Saul himself had sent three groups of messengers to pursue David to take him and kill him. Then Saul himself pursued after David, and all three of the groups, the messengers, and Saul himself, when they got to Samuel, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to prophesy. A supernatural, right, again, intervening of God to protect David from being, if you will, now hear the word, persecuted by Saul. Now, persecution in and of itself, again, is very important to follow the instructions so that you may be righteous. You understand that one of Satan's best techniques to get Christians not to follow Jesus Christ and to take God at his word is he uses afflictions, trouble, and he uses persecution. Now, the phrase David fled, that means that he is being persecuted. The word itself means to follow after or to pursue. And as we take up this in instruction in righteousness, persecution, right? This decision that we make tonight, not so much as to what David decided, but I want you to see, right? I want you to see how important it is to receive the instructions in righteousness, so that when you are persecuted, you don't fall away. Now, there's persecution in the churches that we support in Mexico, and the pastor in Pueblos Mágicos was being persecuted by the local cartel, or the cartel who wanted to control that locale, and they were demanding that the church there pay for support or protection from the local drug dealer. Okay, now how do you go about that? Do you just pay them off, or in this case, the pastor who had just began there, he says, "We're not going to pay you." The previous pastor, we're not going to pay you any money, and so the moment they say we're not going to pay, then they begin to persecute the members of the church. They begin to go after them and chase them. In fact, In their persecuting of the pastor and his family, they threatened him that if he comes back to pastor the church, that they're going to harm his family. And so he disappeared. Now, a recent report, he is okay. Him and his family are okay. But he hasn't been pastoring there for over 6 months. Now, as I describe this to you, the instructions... Okay, the instructions in righteousness. David fled from Naoth and Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should I tell my father, hide this thing from me? It is not so. Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Now, so we open up this study tonight. And the primary word in the Old Testament and the primary word for that comes into our English word persecute means to chase down or to chase away. Or, and you'll notice, again, as you come to verse 3, I just want you to put in your margin this phrase, suffering persecution. David is suffering that Saul is chasing him down and to kill him. And you'll notice the suffering is phrased in this, as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. And my heart's desire is that we would follow Jesus, not turn aside now to follow after 20 centuries, right? To follow other books that men have written about Jesus, or other books that men have written, or the books that are popular now, but to read and study in the Scripture and learn to follow. Because as I look at this tonight, even when we study through 1 Corinthians and we study what Paul was talking with the church there, he says that we suffered as apostles who followed Jesus Christ in the way that Jesus instructed us. He says, but you in Corinth, you reign as kings. You have a Christianity without trouble. Now, why I take this to heart is because of the words of our Lord. And I introduce this, David's suffering persecution. So the first instruction in righteousness is willing to suffer persecution. That's your first instruction. Now, find a way to Matthew chapter 10. In a teaching time with his disciples, Jesus went up on the mountain, sat down. His disciples came up and they stood, and Jesus sat down and taught his disciples. Matthew 5. Now, in this suffering persecution, and we'll get on to this, and here begins the instructions in righteousness tonight. Persecution's the topic. So now here's your instructions. Matthew 5, 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So in your instruction in righteousness, doing what's right, what's acceptable before God. Now, again, I'm going to use a couple phrases with you. Living godly in this present age. Okay? Living for Jesus' sake. Preaching, right? That in Christ Jesus there is a remission of sins. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the word, living godly. Okay? Now, here's the instructions. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, this is your instruction in righteousness tonight. When you're persecuted, count it a blessing because you're being persecuted for being righteous in Christ, and yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, verse 11, so 5:11 of Matthew. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I offer this up to you in the context of the parable that Jesus taught of the scattering of the seed. He described in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, there are many people who hear the gospel and they're excited. They receive the word with joy. They find out, I could follow God. I could follow Jesus. And Matthew 13 describes that shallow heart. He says, this man, yet he has no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended, or he stumbles. Now, the instruction in righteousness is, when persecuted, when someone treats you, right, with trouble and persecutes you because of the word of God, your first instruction is, don't leave. Remember, that's Satan's first tactic, to persecute you over what God's word says. And it might be as you start to live for Christ in front of your family and they begin to, oh, that's dumb, or, oh, that's not the way things really are. And they might begin to chase you down over what you're starting to say to them. And Satan used that tactic all the time to get Christians who are, especially newly born Christians, right, to get them to fall away. Now, back to Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, in this instruction on righteousness with persecution, your first instruction is to stay when persecuted and rejoice and count yourself blessed to know that you're with the others who are persecuted and have received in the promise of heaven. And I offer it up to you. This is as much counterculture as you can live in this world. That you would, when you're chased down by others for living for Christ and they try to stop you or get away from me, I don't want anything to do with you. Now, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, here's where the instructions, if you want to follow Jesus, you'll notice this. I am not saying to you, you have to do this. You have to live this way. I'm offering up to you, if you want to follow Jesus and learn of him, and you take his teachings and you follow his instructions, Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. So, as you're being persecuted, you are to pursue love. As you're being chased for your belief in Christ, you're to love the one who is doing that to you. Bless them that curse you. Now, your instruction in righteousness. Now you see why it's instruction in righteousness. See, because God counts it right that when Jesus is on the cross being crucified, Jesus is on the cross. He counts it right that when Jesus is on the cross, and as he is on the cross, he is, you know, saving one of the criminals next to him. He's, well, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's praying for and loving the ones who have put him on the cross. I offer up to us in the life of David, in the context of what Saul is doing, and here begins the persecution. David fled, David fled, David fled. Jesus instructed his disciples when he sent them out, when they persecute you in this city, right? They chase you away. They don't want to hear the gospel. Again, a couple pieces of instruction. Shake the dust off your feet as a witness and testimony against them. But when they persecute you and there's no time to even shake the dust off your feet, he says flee to another city. Paul, when he got to Corinth, again, trouble happened. There was a riot in the city, and it was about a month into him being there. And Jesus shows up and says, you're going to be staying here a long time. I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. Right? Thus describing to Paul that the persecution, he did not need to flee Corinth. Now, when we talk about being spirit-filled in all ministry, and I offer up to us tonight, all who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay. Again, jot that one down in your notes. 2 Timothy 3:12. It's a few verses ahead of where I started tonight. And I'm going to say it to you again. All who seek to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What form will it take? You might have a family member who says you can't follow Jesus. They might want to chase you away from Jesus. You might have a friend who says, if you follow Jesus, I want nothing to do with you. You might have a spouse who says to you, if you follow Jesus, I don't want to be with you. A family member, a friend, a coworker, one you're sharing the gospel with. Now, this form of persecution is designed by Satan to make you quit. Okay? So the instruction in righteousness, pray for those that are doing that to you in your life. Pray for those in your life who are saying, Why do you go to church? Why do you want to read your Bible? Why do you want to follow Jesus? Or they might begin to speak all manner of evil against you for the name's sake. Oh, that's a cult. And again, I heard that one recently, like you might get addicted to the Bible. Like, what? See, and I'm working with a young man who he's being persecuted by his family members as he turns to walk and follow after Jesus Christ, and I'm beginning the steps with him. Now, when we come to this place tonight, and again, I'm going to repeat the title, Instructions in Righteousness. Why righteousness? Well, Jesus is the way, right? So when you hear, I'm the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6. That's the answer. Jesus is righteousness for us. And when you hear that, if Jesus was persecuted for living godly in this present world, you should expect that as you live for Christ and you live in godliness, you are going to be persecuted. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like where I was at with David. His persecution from Saul was if he makes one step this way, he could die. He's one step away from life and death. Now, here's my prayerful thought as I brought this together. Church in Syria, right? Heavily persecuted right now. Okay? And when you hear that, this has been going on in Syria for quite some time. A few years back at the pastor's conference opening session, a family who was in Damascus when war broke out, and they had one decision to make. By being spirit-led, being spirit-filled, do we stay or do we go? Because what was happening is that there would be bands of soldiers going around looking for Christians, and when they found them, sometimes they were killing them. And so this pastor and his wife and with their children had one decision to make, and the way that the missionary who was working with them told their story, it was they prayed, they obeyed, and they stayed, and revival broke out. They never knew, okay? They never knew if the knock on the door was one coming in to kill them, or a knock on the door of one coming in to get saved. That's what David is describing. One step between life and death. Now, what happens for the church when we live in that place of one step between life and death? Well, the church prospers. Because those that stay and remain, and the blessing was they could have left. They had a way to go. And they even had a biblical instruction that when they persecute you in this city, flee to the next city. That's what Acts 8 is all about. That's how Philip ends up in Samaria. And when you follow these instructions and by the Holy Spirit, and again, preparing us, because remember the thought of instruction and righteousness with persecution is it is equipping you, right, for the work that God has you to do. I don't know if you imagine yourself always living the way you're living now, or do any of you imagine yourself maybe even living in a different part of the world where you're sharing the gospel where it could be hostile. Again, Voice of the Martyrs would track how many countries in this world are hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we support far-reaching ministries, they are running into the most hostile places in the world. They're in 9 out of the 10 worst places in the world as far as violence and safety are concerned. So are we going to sit in America and reign as kings like the Corinthians while Paul describes a suffering and a persecution and being beat? Or are we going to live for Christ even in our own city and we're going to pursue righteousness? Now, enough for now. We'll be back to some of that. But back to 1 Samuel 20. The persecution that David's going through. From the hand of Saul, Jonathan, Saul's son, loves David. So Jonathan said to David, this is 1 Samuel 20, verse 4, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. In the Hebrew, it says, whatever you say, I will do. This is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is a brother born for adversity. This is how we are to be with one another in the body of Christ. Even tonight, if you're receiving instruction in righteousness, you're to remember the church that is suffering and persecuted in the world. You're to remember them in prayer. And why I bring this up is this is Jonathan. He says, whatever you speak, whatever you desire, I'll do it for you. David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. Okay. So David has fled. Right? He went home and he got persecuted there and had to flee. He went to Samuel and Saul chased him down there and he had to flee. And now in his pursuit of righteousness, he comes back to Jonathan and he offered him to him, what have I done? What's my iniquity? What's my sin? Your instruction in righteousness is to first check when trouble comes and persecution comes, have you done anything wrong? Have you done any iniquity? See, and as you catch this, this is where David now with Jonathan, because it's not unrighteousness found in David. And he's going to test now to see if the unrighteousness is in Saul. David said to Jonathan, tomorrow's the new moon. I should fail to sit with the king to eat, but let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. Now, enter into this with me. Saul was just pursuing him to kill him, and the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, and he was prophesying, and then he gets up and goes back home. And this is the context. And David doesn't come right back to be with the king. He says, if your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that I might run to Bethlehem, his city, for a yearly sacrifice for all the family. If he says, thus it is well, your servant will be safe. Again. But if he's very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Now, I offered up to us, and I instruct you once again to be spirit-filled in all ministry. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It takes great might to stand in the face of persecution. Okay? It takes great might to, if you are persecuted, to get up and leave. You do understand that many Christians have been chased away from their homes, their fields, their families. See, when you live in a place where you can reign as a king, as a Christian in this world, okay, that's why that letter to the Corinthians is so important, because it wakes us up. Okay? But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? Now, right there at the end of verse 8, in this instruction in righteousness, that this is David's plea before Jonathan. If you found unrighteousness in me, then kill me yourself. Okay? This is where we together, right? If you understand how important it is to pursue righteousness. Let me illustrate. Okay? Paul says in Romans chapter 6, in instructing on being a slave to sin, and if you're given over to sin, sin will kill you. That was last week's study in 1 Samuel 19. And he goes on to describe that to whom you present yourself as slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey. Whether you become a slave of sin, which leads unto death, or you become a slave of obedience that leads unto righteousness. Now, what I offer up for us, and even describes becoming a slave of righteousness, he says, I speak in human terms. This study tonight, which is an instruction in righteousness, looking at persecution as David is persecuted, he presents himself not in his own eyes, but in the eyes of another, again, a friend, and he says, is there any unrighteousness in me? Is there any wickedness in me? But Jonathan said, far be it from you, for I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you. then would I not tell you? Then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me, or what if your father answers you roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do evil, then I'll report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And we talk about the counsel and the might. And you watch the Holy Spirit again in this love and with Jonathan and really taking an oath and a covenant together in loving one another that he is going to do everything he can to protect and save David's life. Verse 14, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. And we're going to see this covenant and in this persecution. Now this is an instruction in righteousness. Jonathan stands with David in righteousness at the cost of being against his own father. Now how did our Lord say it to us? Unless you hate mother, father, sister, brother, yes, unless you hate your own life, okay, you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because of a situation like this, where it comes right down to it, that if one another person or even your own life says, the risk is too high, I'm not going to serve and follow Jesus. And Jonathan is right in that place. And they make an oath, and this is going to come back for Jonathan later on, even after he's dead. There's going to come a day where David has the thought, and he says, I wonder if anyone is still alive of Jonathan's house that I may show him good. Okay? Now, Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon and you'll be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly, and when you come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain by the stone Azel, then I will shoot 3 arrows at the side as though I shot at a target. So they're doing this all in code. They're planning that they will no longer be able to speak openly, and so they're setting it up in advance. I'll send a lad saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come, then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. Thus the buzzword or the key word was, come. It's okay, David. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. Again, he's either going to say, David, come, or David, you need to go away. Now when the angel of the Lord stood beside Paul in Corinth and says, do not be afraid, stay here, for I have many in this city. Now, when I talk with us about being spirit-filled in all ministry, this is the instruction in righteousness, receiving the understanding of how to live in persecution and to live with others who are in persecution so that you might be equipped, that you might be mature, that you might be complete. My desire for us in church, I don't know if you all understand what's seeking to happen and to have a beginning in one summer, is we as a church to start 3 more churches this summer. Okay? Furthermore, every intent that when the invite comes to go and share the gospel in the mosque at their request, all about the Son of God, that when that door opens up, I'm going to go. I'm not going alone. I already have 6 or 7 men already lined up. Said, will you go with me? All right? Now, as I describe this, okay, how will you live? What are you living for? And so as you take this to heart, we're going to watch with David, verse 23. So this is Holy Spirit counsel and might going on. 23, and as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord be between you and me forever. Then David hid in the field, and new moon had come. The king sat down to eat the feast. So this is a monthly, again, time of feasting that takes place. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, and on a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something has happened to him. He is unclean, surely he's unclean, therefore he wouldn't have been able to eat the meal that was, again, holy. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Verse 30. Okay. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame, the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Now, in this instruction in righteousness, okay, count the cost of standing with those who are persecuted. Count the cost. Jonathan has counted the cost. Okay. Now, we as a church are supporting far-reaching ministries. Okay. Many of you as individuals are supporting far-reaching ministries. When you support them, when you support the churches that we support in Mexico, do you know what we're doing? We're standing together with them who are being persecuted. Okay. In this case, Saul is tempting Jonathan. Again, Jonathan just took an oath with David to love him and care for him and to make sure that nothing comes between them. And this is now very much a temptation. Now, I offer up, this is that parable of the sowing of the seed and the word on your heart. Listen, as you receive God's word and you believe it, and then you do it, that's righteousness. And you give yourself to obey the commands of Jesus. As you read them and you receive the commands and you walk in them, that's righteousness. And that's where the attack will come. In fact, in this case, Jonathan is being tempted to really not hold to righteousness and his vow that he made to David. Again, Saul's going after his mom. I mean, these, you can't say it in much more of a slanderous way concerning, you know, son of a perverse and rebellious woman. He's saying, I married her so that I could have a son who would be on the throne. And now you're not going to be on the throne to the shame of your life. I married her so you would be the king. And his whole thing was hand him over and he shall surely die. Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Now, let's go read this together. Back to 2 Timothy 3. Now, when you find that your life and how you live and if you're not... And your life doesn't line up with what you're reading in the scriptures, it's time for repentance. Wow. Like I said, it's time for repentance. 2 Timothy 3:12. I want you to read this. Well, the part we can pick up, right? Chapter 3 is, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. So, you following these instructions in righteousness in regards to persecution, being spirit-led. If you're chased away from your job, your family, your home, okay? See, you've got to prepare for this. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, okay? Unloving, unforgivers, slanderers, traitors, having a form of godliness, denying the power. Okay, familiar section. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Read the Bible. I mean, I'm that straightforward. Read the Bible and listen and learn what the Spirit of God is teaching here. Don't pick up the latest book on how to do church better. Okay, I'm serious about this. Pick this up. You've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Listen to this one. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And then this is the verse I want you to get memorized. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're listening to this and say, well, I've never suffered persecution, then you could boldly say, then you're not living godly in Christ Jesus. See, we're called to pursue godliness. And what I'm presenting to you this summer is a great opportunity for you to pursue, right? To pursue righteousness and godliness together with the church as we go out and share the gospel. And with that godliness and righteousness to talk with people, to invite them to a Bible study, to disciple, to share the gospel, you know, to preach Christ. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How will it happen for you? Oh, we had persecution last year when we were down at Street Reach. You may not have recognized it in its form, but as I'm out in the middle of the street where people are walking, I'm not waiting for them to come by where we're singing. I'm trying to find the people, and again, quick prayers, and I'm trying to hand out Gospels of John. And as I'm handing out Gospels of John, I'm with a smile on my face and describing, you know, to again, Ben, what phrase I'm using, but I had more than one person say, get that out of here. I don't want that. And I said, well, you don't want to go to heaven? Not if you're there. Okay? Mild persecution, but I count it a blessed day. That was the best day of outreach as far as going out in the middle of all the things that were going on. And I don't know if anybody understood that. There were many of those Gospels of John that were tore up and thrown on the ground or in the garbage. Right? Persecution. Now, I'm not going out trying to be persecuted for being weird. Okay? Because you can be weird and that people don't like you. In fact, it was quite the opposite. In all manner of love and truth, and I don't know how you are, but I was not being a respecter of persons, how they looked on their outward appearance. Because many are giving the appearance that it's a man with a man, a woman with a woman, or a woman trying to be a man trying to be a woman, or maybe somewhere in between. That's most of where most of the persecution came, as I would speak to all people coming my way. But the other part was, I also found so many people who were believers who were like, right on. You know. And I offer this up to us. All who seek to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So as you follow the instructions in righteousness and you stand with those and you find out Saul's angry, wants to kill his son. Jonathan says, why should he be killed? Verse 33, Saul cast a spear at Jonathan to kill him, by which Jonathan knew it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. Now back to that pastor in Pueblos Mágicos, right? He was chased away from doing the church services. If you hold another church service, we're going to kill you and your family. And you hear that? If you hold another church service, we're going to kill you and your family. So what do you tell a man like that? he asks you, well, so is it real, right? It's a real threat. Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, ate no food the second day of the month. He was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. Now, this was a new pastor. Right? First assignment, first few months. And that's the environment he's in. Now, Granjas is equally, Granjas Amparo Sanchez, the church there that we support, is equally in trouble. They're in a territory where three cartels are fighting for control and money. And never heard of before, the cartels were killing the people who were using drugs if they were buying drugs from the other cartel. Unheard of, because that's killing customers, so to speak. So what do you tell a man like that? Well, I know what Wes Bentley, in raising up those soldiers who are being chased with guns by the enemies who want to kill and destroy and not have the church and not have the church protect women and children, and it's one step between life and death. He instructs them the instruction in righteousness and the code of which he's given them to live by. If you're surrounded by the enemy and you're outnumbered and outgunned and there are women and children there, you stay till every woman and child can get out of there. And just know that that's the day that you're going to go home and see the Lord. That's what he tells those soldiers. See, now a young pastor just getting started out, now it doesn't mean it's over for him, does it? As he's persecuted, he can flee, and then what are you going to do again? So the preparation is to stand with those who are persecuted and be thoroughly furnished for every good work. And this is the important part. David is going to be equipped. Okay, do you hear that? And I offer up to you, you say, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm willing to go into these places in the world, or I'm willing in the city in which I live to go out into the mass of what might be happening with people and to go and preach Christ in that environment. I wouldn't tell someone their first time out doing outreach to come and stand and do what I do. In fact, one of the ladies that my wife knew from another ministry in town, and she says, can I come out and do outreach with you? And she came out the street reach, this was 2 years ago, and she got eaten up by what people were saying to her. And she was crying because it hurt so bad, because she wasn't ready for the persecution that she faced for going out and sharing Christ with people. Yes, in our city. If you haven't caught it yet, 40% of the population here are saying we have no religious affiliation. Do you hear that? 40%, target-rich environment. Yeah. I don't say this so yet you would be afraid, but you would decide to say what? I'm going to live godly. And if I suffer persecution, or when I suffer persecution, I'm not going away. So here's the instructions. After Jonathan arose from the table, verse 35. So it was in the morning, Jonathan went out into the field, the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. He said to his lad, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot the arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, Jonathan had shot. Jonathan cried out after the lad, is not the arrow beyond you? Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, don't delay. You catch the code. He's talking to David. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows, came back to his master. The lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, go carry them to the city. Because what would have happened if Saul would have found out if Jonathan helped David escape? He'd have killed him. Now you think of that life and death. Granjas is on its fourth pastor in 20 years. The first three have been devoured by Satan, as it were. You hear that? The enemy prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Now maybe this understanding of what we're called to will reach as you follow Jesus and your life begins to come in line with the teachings of Jesus. And you can say, I'm going to follow Jesus and at all cost. Okay? Now that the pastor in Pueblos Mágicos, praying for him that he'll have another opportunity to get started and he can get built up and he can be strengthened, because the counsel and advice that the far-reaching ministries as they work with pastors in Mexico, certain parts of Mexico, yet when that threat has come, the pastor has sent his wife and his children away, but many of those pastors go right back to church on Sunday and hold services with that same threat. And some of them have gone missing. Some of them have been killed. Now, that's who I want to stand with. I'm not looking for let's have a ministry where we can provide, an oasis for pastors to escape the difficulties of ministry. And I'm serious about this. Right? Is not the arrow beyond him? Make haste, hurry, do not delay. The lad went, Jonathan gave his weapons, they carried him into the city. Verse 41, the lad had gone, David arose from the place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed three times, and they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. See, because the persecution, Saul is going to kill you, the persecution is real, David, you got to go. Jonathan and David believe this is the last time they're going to see each other. So the parting words, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me, between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, I've got some closing instruction in righteousness concerning the topic of persecution. Mark 10:30, words of our Lord. Just take this to heart. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. See, because when your family forsakes you, because it happens for Christians. Jesus, how do you say it? He says, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. For in one house, three will be against two. A mother-in-law will be against her daughter-in-law. That living for Christ, say, oh, that's never happened to me. Are you living godly? See, and this for us is the call. You shall receive 100-fold now in this time. And isn't this the church? Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. Mark 10:30. And in the world to come, eternal life. In this world, right? You lose your life for Christ Jesus, you may lose all your family members, but then you gain all this in the body of Christ, and it comes with persecutions. And your family, again, those that come to faith in Christ, whether it would be Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, they're disowned or killed. You do realize a lot of the what they call mercy killings in Islam, it's because if their children come to Christ or if they've done something against their religion, the fathers kill their daughters. It's bizarre. Okay? Now, Luke 21:12, promise for end times here. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues, into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. See, John 15:20. This is an important instruction. Remember the word what I said unto you, that a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Remember Jesus in his hometown? They chase him right to the edge of the cliff, intending to what? Push him over. Always trying to trap him in his words. They would pursue him. Let's see, great persecution against the church in Acts 8. Acts 22:4, Paul describing he persecuted the way unto death. Acts 26, persecuted them even into strange cities. Romans 8:35. This is a good verse for instruction. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Shall distress? Or persecution? See, if you're hearing this tonight, you're saying what? When I'm persecuted and I'm chased, I will keep my faith in Christ. I will stand with others who are persecuted, even if they're chased away. What have you really lost for serving the Lord? See, there are many in this world who have lost homes. Okay? Are you going to be involved with providing a home for them? See, when we support far-reaching ministries and the churches in Mexico, you can say, yes, we are doing that. Okay? Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. There's an instruction. Okay, got that. And let's see, this is a good one. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. I love to go visit the churches in Mexico. I've seen them now for over 20 years. And I love this wonderful thing. They're still there, praising God, serving God. And I love to do evangelism when we get to every one of those churches. Let's go out and find more people. Now, last instruction I have for you tonight. Because let's be honest, the topic tonight, because hear it, instruction in righteousness, topic is persecution. This is not for fun or happiness. This is in the joy of the truth that we would remain at all costs. And so that when you're chased, you're to turn and love the one who is trying to chase you away and harm you. And you're to pray for them. And you're to live as Christ with them. Now this word persecute means to chase down. Now I'm going to flip the whole study on you at the end. So while you're being persecuted or chased away from Christ, it's designed to cause you to pursue Christ. So as you're being chased and the enemy's trying to chase you away from Christ, I'm instructing you, pursue him. Here's the instructions. Romans 14:19. Pursue the things which make for our peace. Do you hear that phrase? Pursue the things which make for our peace. Romans 14:19. So the way that our Lord taught us, he says, have salt in yourself. Be at peace with one another. Do you hear that phrase? So the character, salt has to be salty. And if you've been instructed in righteousness and you've been trained and you've been equipped and you understand that persecutions are going to happen, and so, you know, as persecutions come my way, I'm not going to leave God's word. I'm going to stay in God's word. And as I'm doing that, as I'm being persecuted and everything is designed to get me to hate this and complain, and if I just didn't follow Christ, this wouldn't be happening in my life. That's what Satan's working. But then you turn and you flip the whole thing. So while that's going on, I'm going to pursue the things which make for our peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. To pursue those things that make for our peace, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Chase down agape. Pursue love. And earnestly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, pursue that what is good for yourselves and for all. So while you're being persecuted, spitefully treated, and you're praying for your enemies, you're loving your enemies, maybe you're feeding your enemies like the way the Lord taught. Pursue that which is good for yourself and for all. Pursue peace. So while those are trying to chase you away, make you stop, you're to pursue peace. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue righteousness, 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2:22. Chase down righteousness. So, pretty straightforward. Pursue love, pursue righteousness, pursue peace. Pursue those things that are good and make for our good and make for peace. So, Jesus hanging on the tree. and he is pursuing what? Righteousness, love, peace, forgiveness, doing everything he can to have the people in the world be at peace by being reconciled to God. I think we can, I don't know what you, how you are when you hear the report, like what's happening to the pastor in Mexico. Do you want, like, let's go, all those cartels should be destroyed. Right? You hear that? Or do you pursue that for, oh Lord, they got to be saved. Now, just challenging thoughts there. And the one final thing I want to impart with you is this. We flip the whole Bible study. When you are persecuted, it should make you peaceable, loving, righteous, prayerful. You hear that? And we'll wrap up with 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you already closed your Bible because you thought the Bible study was over, you can open it back up. Now, when you believe and receive the words and put them in your heart, know that they will be tested. So when you are told you can't follow Jesus, okay, that's the test. That's when it comes. Peter, who understands a thing or two about persecution, I mean, before he was baptized, saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit while he was following Jesus, a little girl chased him away with one question. I know that you know Jesus. I saw you with him. And he took vows to the point of cursing. He says, I don't know him. He took a vow. He was chased away just by somebody's words. Now, if you thought that Peter became a better swordsman after the incident in the garden, I heard it described another way. I was, you know, one way was like, if he's right-handed, how does he cut off the guy's right ear? Well, he was behind him. But I heard someone else talking, had it all figured out. Somehow the way he could have also done it, not attacking him from behind, don't know. But here's Peter's words. Okay. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. So that's an instruction in righteousness. And verse 9 is where it really now takes on some power. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. So when somebody chases you down, somebody tries to get you to stop, somebody cusses at you, you know, gets angry, wants you to stop. So do you know what happened to me with the person who persecuted me and said, I don't want to be in heaven with you? I said, well, I want to be in heaven with you. That's what I said to him. He says, I don't want to see you ever again. I don't want to see you for all of eternity. I said, well, I want to see you in heaven. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to any of you. Like, in an instant, when being reviled for saying, again, and I didn't even get onto his sin, but he so hated me that I would even talk with him about Jesus. Because he deep down wants to stay in his sin. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. 1 Peter 3:10. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Are you really seeking to be at peace with all men? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you start to take that to heart. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayers. But the face is the Lord against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? For even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, and this is where I leave this, 1 Peter 3:14, if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, You are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Why can you tell a pastor who's been threatened? You can send your wife and children away and have them be protected, but you can say to him what? If you're afraid of your threats, if you're afraid of their threats and you quit, the church isn't going to make it. If you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. One of my friends, they delivered a tractor down to a ministry that they had either started or supported in Mexico, and crossing from Arizona into Mexico, towing this tractor, or not towing it, but putting it on a trailer. And as they're heading, and it's going to make a big difference for all the families. A tractor that can work the land is going to make a huge difference. And they get stopped by men in camouflage. And what is it in Mexico? When we've traveled in the more remote parts, I'm always wondering, where are we going to get pulled over by police, right? Military, or cartels? So this is what he's thinking. And they get stopped by this guy, and as they begin to talk, and they're finding out, what are you doing with that tractor? Where are you taking that tractor? And finding out that they're not police, they're not military, they're face to face with bandits or a cartel. And my pastor friend just to say, well, I guess today's the day that I'm going home to be with the Lord. And he says, who's the leader of this group? And the pastor steps forward. And before the guy can even start questioning, he reaches into his pocket, pulls out this little pocket Bible, and says, I've been sent by God to deliver this message to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he takes out the Bible and he reads it to him. And he preaches Christ to him right on the spot. He preaches Christ. Again, why does he do that? Because of, right, 1 Peter 3. And this guy is a little guy, and he's old, and he's not threatening, and he's as bold as a lion. And just describing what he said and he did, he said, I have a message from God. We've been sent by God to talk to you today, so that your soul doesn't go to hell, but that you can be saved. You and all your men can receive Jesus Christ and have salvation. Not afraid of his threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. So, are you ready in an instant to make that answer, or will you support those that do go? Because remember, you can be a sender. And you can pray, Lord, I pray that you would watch over Edward Amaya today, and where that he goes, and that you would watch over and keep him. And that might be, or maybe you're praying for Wes and Vicki Bentley. Or maybe you're praying for Ron and Donna Brink. Or maybe you're praying for the pastor in Pueblos. Maybe you're praying for Juan and Jesse. Now, as I offer this up, as you stand with that, what did it turn out? The bandits let them go with the tractor and thanked him for actually sharing the Bible with him. And he gave him that Bible. Now, he didn't get saved on the spot, but he was ready in an instant at all costs to say what? Well, today's the day that I die. What would happen if an entire church lived like that in North Dakota? And just said, I'm going to live for Christ. And if the Holy Spirit says, go up and talk to that person, I'm going to go up and talk to that person. And watch what God will do. So, Heavenly Father, we received the instructions in righteousness tonight, that this, the things with persecution. Lord, when we study like this and our lives aren't on the the level with Peter, with Paul, with David. We just offer up to you, Lord, we received the instructions tonight to pursue godliness, to pursue peace, to pursue righteousness, to pursue this walk with you, that we could live more like you in our city, in our day, and that your Spirit would be upon us and give us power to go out and preach Christ and teach the Word of God. We ask that you would use all of this summer to prepare us, your church, for the works that you've prepared for us to do. And I pray for the church in Valley City, Jamestown, and Wahpeton, for them to be started this year. And I pray that we would be ready, Lord, in the face of all persecution, that we remain. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.